Anyway, we got a few people that aren't going to be here, and I'm running at about 50%. So I'm sitting on the end, so if I have a coughing attack, just step out. Just keep going on and going on about me. I'm just trying to hold my head up at the moment.
Can you talk that way, please?
Yeah, I don't think I'm contagious. The coughing attack's it. I mean, maybe the this is just kind of pre-holiday. Let's get us a game plan more than anything now that we've actually met once. We have a new gentleman in the crowd. I'd like him to introduce himself to make sure everybody knows who he is.
Buck stops there.
Well, good morning. My name is Andrew Sheridan. I was hired to replace Michael Snyder. And I've got, not to brag, but 25 years of planning experience, most of that in the state of Washington, the rest of it equally divided between Arizona and California. And most recently, I've lived in Reno via Oakland via Seattle. That's a little bit of a story that I'll save for later. So, but I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Cool. Can I ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
Is Seattle the last place that you were before you came here?
Last place I worked as a planner, correct. Mm-hmm. I worked for a town called Snoqualmie, which is 25 miles east of Seattle. It's a town about 10,000
people. I was born and raised there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I asked you.
Okay. Just a quick roundabout, since Andrew really doesn't know anybody here. I only know James and Ann at this point. I'm Ron Wright. I'm the chair of the Planning Commission. We met previously.
I'm Shabbat Feinberg. I'm the chair of the Cell Tower Siting Committee of the Williams CAC, which is really attached to the planning department. And we've been researching this for a couple of years.
Okay.
I'm Brian Hawkins. I'm retired from the city of Long Beach. I manage telecommunications for the city.
My name is Steve Porter. I own a company in town here called Siskiyou Communications. I've owned it for 26 years. We own and operate 7 radio sites, not necessarily cell towers, but I've been in the industry basically all of my life. I worked in the Bay Area for a lot of it, doing commercial communications down there as well.
All right. Thank you.
Steve, go ahead.
Oh, I'm Stephen Williams. I'm the chair of the Williams CAC.
One of our most active CACs. They have a lot of good input into our staff stuff. Thank you. And then there's 2 others, Charlie Chase, you'll probably meet at the next one. He's our state fire marshal. And then Taz Allen is the compadre of Steve's there that he does sell and has a couple towers out in Cave Junction area. But currently he's on his way to a tower because he's got a down tower. So.
Good luck. $8 does not have a good reputation, and it's quite snowy. Good luck, Taz.
Yeah, he wanted to go up last night and money wouldn't let him, so... I said it's not worth your life.
Well, he may want to go up today, and Mother Nature may not let him.
Yes. So, the previous meeting, we had some discrepancies. Williams CAC presented to the Planning Commission a packet for cell phone towers. We evaluated it. We decided that it needed some different input from people that were Steve and Brian here. So we decided to get a subcommittee together and actually go through and there was some wording that really needs to be corrected and some things that we as laymen wouldn't know how to correct that. I know we're kind of focusing on cell towers generically. We don't want to focus as a cell tower. We want it to be a tower ordinance. So Steve does the hams and everything else. I'm a licensed operator. So we want to cover everything. And we want to just make sure that whatever we write, it's going to encompass what we needed it to encompass without being harmful to somebody specifically. We've taken as just as a base guideline what Williams CAC has presented to us, and we're using that as a starting point, and we're just trying to make it work. So they've done some good work, they've put some good effort into it, and we just want to move it forward to where it needs to be. So having said that, we had a list of issues of 9 that we started with initially. Today was we were going to really cover item 1 as much as possible, but I know Taz had the counties
and I was supposed to get that, or Ann was supposed to get it before this meeting, and I hadn't seen it yet, but he had the setbacks of towers from other counties, so we had that information available, and I did not get that before this meeting this morning. So kind of, we might want to just rehash that a little bit on the next one, but...
I don't want to get hung up on the terminology or nomenclature here, but again, when you say tower, I wonder if you might want to consider more like an antenna structure, because antennas could be mounted on top of a building. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a tower.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the antenna is
yeah, and I'm open for anything. That's what we're here for. We're here to make what works.
Yeah, we touched on that a little bit last time, but certainly that's a crucial point. Because there's monopoles that can see a tower, and like we were saying, they can be on buildings. Buildings are typically where the people are, and close in, et cetera. So, yes.
Monopole, wireless tower.
Yeah. We agree that it would be good to go through the ordinance at some point and shift that language in, because it really is an antenna that
works. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but the tower could be an unsightly concern. Whereas a lot of times when the antennas are on buildings, they can even be camouflage. Mm-hmm. So there are separate issues for each.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No issue with me on that.
Yeah.
So if I say power, it's just a reference point. We know we're going to... That's one of the things we're attempting to do here, is to scrub the language and make it... But again, that's going to be the expertise of the guy. Even though I do have... some experience, so I don't have their experience.
We did also, I think we asked, since, you know, the CAC presented the first 9 or 10 issues, we have mm-hmm. people who have other issues that they want to add to that list. So I went back to the ordinance and pulled out some other issues that we might want to address. Some of them could be addressed really quickly, but I thought I would. And then other people might want to add stuff. And I put the in black are the 9 or 10, I think that there was a write in security. Somebody mentioned security, but in black are the ones that we had already had, and in green were some extra things that we came up with, knowing that others here might also come up with some issues that they want to make sure we cover.
I did some research regarding the definitions of the items you see in item 3, which is saying about repeaters, picocells, nanocells, etc. A picocell is indeed, like I thought before, where a carrier could locate it to a very, very low power, very small radius transmitter to cover, like, say, a parking garage, a portion of a building, a small geographical footprint outside somewhere, but it's typically an in-building thing for larger type facilities. And I don't believe there's any in Southern Oregon, and at this point really wouldn't even anticipate any of those. Now, there was also a term, femtocells, which I had not been familiar with, but heard about it. And I found out that what that is in some cases, a wireless carrier, I think Verizon might be leading the way on this, I'm not sure, can provide an in-house, on-premises, small, mini cell device that might be the size of a typical router. And if you have broadband to connect to that, be it cable or DSL or some form of wireless, then they can actually provide you your cellular coverage through this little device. So your cell phone will work within, oh, probably a 30, 40, 50-foot radius or something like that. And that's strictly... for the individual's choice to pay for that, implement that, or not. So that's kind of out of the scope of this thing. If the individual wants to put one of those in their house, fine. But that's what it is, a very low power, directly connected via broadband to the cell switch to provide you a little port, if you will. I don't really know what a nano cell is. This just kind of came up. It's probably similar to a pico.
It's presumably it's not a 802.11 band.
0211.
80211.
Oh, no, the femtocells and all that would not be. Okay. No, it would be somewhere in the cellular portion as regulated and licensed by the carrier in the first place.
Yeah, so it's not going to be at the other upper end of the 800 megahertz band.
It's either going to be 800, which is the cellular, or the 1900, right, which is called PCS, typically the same from the public's point of view.
Right. Okay.
But always defined to some degree.
Make it a little clearer as we move forward to worry about those.
Repeaters, changed their name. You said that, what are they called now?
Femtocells?
No, repeaters?
Oh, repeaters. Oh, those are called enhancers.
Enhancers.
Yeah, and as I saw here, the Northwest group mentioned that they don't seem to be in use much anymore. And that is true. They don't seem to be in use. I don't know really any around here anymore. And the reason is because they piggyback onto existing cell site, so that service at the cell site, the donor, if you will, loses some capacity because this enhancer is picking back on it. Well, okay, that itself isn't too bad, but with the prevalence, availability, cost of being able to connect a freestanding cell site of perhaps very small size to connect into the cell site, you need some kind of T1 service or something, all these costs coming in. It's just easier and better for the carrier to just make this be a mini cell site as opposed to an enhancer piggybacking on an existing. And that could indeed be, it would be considered a cell site at that point. Size being, it may have smaller antennas, less channels, to fill in an area like an enhancer was intended to do in the first place. So enhancers don't seem to be much in fashion anymore.
Boy, they're still using them for the ham, aren't they?
It doesn't really apply that way in ham. It doesn't. You would have repeaters, and they could easily be connected together in a linked configuration. But no, it's a whole different concept technically.
Yeah, but we're going to still be covering the potential of the ham signal.
Absolutely, yeah. And that needs to be treated as an entity of itself. And the word enhancer or any of this wouldn't even apply. We're basically just going
to
call it.
It would only apply to the cell.
That's correct.
So it would still be a repeater on the other side.
Well, the hams would be repeaters. A cell could have an enhancer, but they don't seem to be very popular anymore.
Okay.
But so they could use it, so we might as well cover it.
It needs to be treated as the fact that they could very well exist. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. We want to make sure we don't eliminate repeaters because we know they're going to have an application.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we have to be careful navigating through the regulatory waters because as we start bringing in the other technology, we're going to be dealing with entirely different sets of rules. I guess that's still not clear in my mind. I thought we were dealing with cellular technology and the Telecommunications Act and not getting into land mobile and amateur radio and broadcast and with all these other technologies.
That is our primary focus, but if we're having a tower ordinance, then what we don't want to do is make sure that we damage the other forms of communication in that process.
If our neighbor wants to, is a ham radio operator, he wants to put an antenna, you know, up on top of his pine tree, we're not going to want to say so now.
You can do it, as long as you meet the requirements.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if maybe we want to, I'm afraid we'll get confused if we try to keep right. All the technologies on the same level. Maybe we should focus on cellular towers, and if we're successful with that, then we use that as a tip. But if you want to start getting into this broadcast, would be a whole other world. Amateur radio—that's opening up a really big,
totally different.
We're only going to be dealing with commercial sites. We're not going to be dealing with private.
True, but commercial could include TV radio. And I suppose you have to define the definition of commercial. Is that implied for profit? Because what TAS is dealing with, you know, is a reselling thing. Could that be considered commercial? So it gets messier if we're really trying to split hairs on definition.
What about public radio?
Definition of public radio? Mm-hmm. Broadcast. You know, which hasn't been included in this. As a matter of fact, in this third draft, second page, it says wireless tower, freestanding model pole, et cetera, but do not include amateur radio transmission or facilities exclusively for transmission of television or radio. So in the third draft, we kind of excluded some of the things that Brian's making sure we exclude or do not include in the degree.
I mean, we can visit later, but I'm just afraid we're going to get the rules that apply to, let's say, broadcast confused with the rules that apply to cellular.
We'll get amateur radio.
We risk making some mistakes that then later on somebody's looking at, well, you can't do that.
Yeah.
The cellular world is protected, and the broadcast world is not. Right.
And then the reality of it, cellular is what's going to be continuing to be developed, becoming an issue in our locale, where the broadcasters will not be developing to any degree further build-outs. I mean, they went to HD, TV, and a few additional translators went in to additional existing sites, some of which I own that are on these mountains far away. I don't see them coming into town and doing that. Nationwide visit, they don't do it that way. So it is easy to not have to consider all that to muck up our time frame.
Yeah.
So cellular is really where we need to concentrate, because that's the end of the
bus.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that we haven't looked into yet, which is why last time I said it really helps, and I appreciate that we say in advance what we're going to deal with the next term, because
yes.
We can bring that. So the next one is wireless towers, and I just want to do a little more research about that. But the next one is kind of the question that you're talking about now, because it's not just wireless towers, but it's the broadband and the ham radio are regulated the same or differently. So in this next week, since that's number two, you know, I'll do a little research and just, and I hope come out with the conclusion that yes, we're not concerned with anything.
Yeah, because it's just insignificant.
Yeah,
so there's definitely the big issue here, the issue.
But I, yeah, as I said, I do want to have just that extra time when we know that's on the agenda, which are probably if there's wireless internet everywhere, aren't we concerned with that at all?
Yes, and that can be a ongoing presence as various people like, I forget the guy, Applegate, Broadband or whatever he calls himself down there, and people like Taz who are providing that service, generally won't be putting up towers. Taz has established a few, but a lot of times due to technology, if you put it in a person's home, especially if it's a little elevation, it can actually pass through, or a mesh network concept, pass right through that person's home and they don't even know it. So you can kind of like network through the neighborhood. You don't need a tower to continue to cover it. It's a relay on its own. And that stuff is extremely low power relative to cellular and anything. So that isn't, in my point of view, a concern whatsoever. The antennas are small. The carriers, the people who put those in around here, generally can't afford much money to even need to put in towers. We would not necessarily see that as an ongoing insurgence or whatever. So,
isn't some of that unlicensed spectrum?
It's all unlicensed.
Yeah, so
it's not regulated by the FCC. Yeah, and it's very, the FCC regulates how much power you can emit, how big the antenna can be. They even change the connectors on the equipment, so it's like really non-standard. So Joe Blow can't go to Radio Shack and hook in himself and start hooking up all sorts of weird stuff to put bigger antennas. And so it's pretty controlled in that regard. And again, very low power, and would not see it as a visual impact, because generally around here, people aren't putting up towers because it's not justifiable financially. You know, they get 30 customers, they get $30 a month, they're doing pretty good.
I know there were some towns, one of them comes to mind is Sebastopol in California, where they were wanting the downtown to be where you are with internet anywhere downtown. So they were flooding the downtown with wireless. So that's the thing I wanted to
Sure. And that's not a whole lot different in the technology and power levels than you would have a Wi-Fi hotspot down at the cafe right over here on G Street. It's all of that same kind of stuff. Like, similar, like we mentioned, you have a wireless device that's turned off in your laptop. It's all of that stuff, pretty low-key.
Yeah, the bad news is, you know, finding out, this is like trying to nail tail to the wall. Because the technology is just going all over the place. And we had 900 signalized intersections in Long Beach. And it was too expensive to dig up the ground and run cables between all the intersections. And they were constantly getting, you know, dug up by the other guy and stuff like that. So there's been microwaves between every single intersection. Just little tiny dishes, tied all together with this nice wireless network. Never failed, you know, it paid for itself in a matter of a few years, considering what it cost us to dig up streets. So with that, we said, hey, while we're out there on the poles, let's put some internet in. So you walk anywhere downtown Long Beach and you've got Wi-Fi, you can watch Netflix while you're sitting in a sidewalk cafe and having a cup of coffee. So, I mean, not that's going to happen in Grants Pass tomorrow, but I mean, quite frankly, there's enough Wi-Fi between Bluestone and a few other stores. You can pretty much walk down the street and get Wi-Fi anywhere on the street. So it's here. It's
to take that a step further, the city of Medford was pretty advanced time-wise, technology-wise, compared to the rest of the country, and put in a fairly extensive mesh network, which is similar to what we're talking about, all over Medford for public safety use. Police, fire have access to it. And with the broadband nature of high speed, a police car can have a computer in there, and now he can actually see on his screen what some video camera of some back alley is seeing. So if he wants to go there, he already knows there's like 19 thugs standing there, and he might want to call for reinforcements before he goes up. This is the application of large amounts of data, but my point is Medford is very pleased to have been able to afford, justify, and install all over the city small antennas on light poles and such. This is something that's common, very low power, very much outside the scope of what we're trying to deal with here, which would be cellular and intrusive towers.
Yeah, I think you're going to find that D mark and say, let's check this. And
we need to deal with cellular.
Yeah.
Maybe later we visit other issues, but keep moving forward on our real issue of everybody still wanting more towers than AT&T. It's certainly an issue.
And going back to AT&T.
Yeah, yeah, there. Exactly.
Seem to be involved for some reason.
No, there's two cases right there.
For a planning standpoint, there's no way we could issue permits on every single one of these things. It's just unfeasible. Our office can handle that. Look and reviewing all these little tiny wireless things.
So do you have a pretty good caseload of cellular right now?
Well, the thing is that that's such an up-and-coming thing. There's going to be a lot of people doing this all the time. You know, if Joe Blow wants to put up a wireless thing in his cafe downtown or out in the county somewhere, that's just something we're not going to have time to submit your application, spend 4 weeks reviewing it, do agency notice, and turn it around, then charge you know, an application fee, charge a permit fee. That's really an injustice. I think we're at that level.
It's beyond our purview, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, and you mentioned the wireless, so to me that's sounding like a lot of Wi-Fi and stuff. It seems to me there would be a certain level where the physical aspect of it doesn't even come under a special use permit. And if someone sticks a little square head in the corner of a bluestone, it's irrelevant. So my question was, are there quite a few permits right now pending for cellular towers
for cell towers
in the city?
Right now we have two pending in the county right now.
Okay.
We just approved two just as last year, so two more. So. So it's not a high volume thing for us.
I've identified a couple of spots in the county that would be ideal for coverage for our carriers as possible alternatives, and they're in locations that are that are not developed. It might be ideal as far as the public input not having an issue with it. And one of them happens to be a friend of mine's land who sure would like to have some income from the carrier. I'm going to be forwarding on, as soon as I get time, a couple of these locations for the carriers to look at. And they might say, well, fine, then we won't go to this one down over here. We won't have such heat. And they'll go out there and everybody might say, well, that's a good place. So I'm trying to work that angle as well.
Right. So keeping it above into the cell tower, keeping it up at that level is where we need to focus on.
Cellular.
Writing an ordinance is all fine and good, but then when you're on the front lines like me at the front counter, taking all this stuff in and doing using the ordinance to review this stuff, we want to. It needs to be functional.
There's no way you're going to be able to do that for every for Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't need to be. It's being ridiculous.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're talking high profile in many regards, visibility, RF levels, et cetera.
So we need to call it cellular PCS?
Well, those are the two technical terms, because if we say cellular, technically we would exclude PCS, which is 900, so it should say, there's nothing else other than cellular and PCS.
Now.
At the moment.
Right. And this is true, but that's really all.
But that's
like the Telecommunications Act itself got amended. You know, this will probably have to be revisited when they.
Yeah.
And that's what number 14, you know, is questioning what we can talk about when we get there. You know, as new technology comes out and isn't addressed in the ordinance, and therefore it's less unregulated.
And
you know, what, how can it be, how can the ordinance be continued updated in the easiest possible way?
And fortunately, in this regard, of the emerging technologies, and we're talking years down the line because this all takes years to come to fruition, conceptually, developmental, manufacturing, marketing, implementation, takes 3 years, 4 years. Of the progression, it's all using the same frequencies that exist now, the same power levels that exist now. It's just a different way of manipulating the modulation technique to cram more into what you've already got, which doesn't change anything as far as radiation levels or anything. Instead of amplitude changes, they shift the carrier and they can do it four times faster. And so in the foreseeable future, 4, 5, 6 years, 8 years, probably 10, and here's the other reason for it, I can extend that term. My point, though, is the technology is the same. They're just changing within those guidelines, so it doesn't really affect anything other than...
I think what it affects, or at least what it's affecting right now, is since they've moved from the 800, 900 megahertz realm to the 1900 megahertz realm, they're asking for more towers.
Well, and that's been going on for 10 years, and indeed, they might want more towers because cellular PCS, they just have more needs. Yes, the 1900 megahertz cover as well, so they might say they need them to be a little closer, and there's a reality to that. But some of it's just population, and they're not, AT&T isn't out there at all yet, so they'd be happy to go at 8 or 18. You know, they just want to be.
No, it's happening right now.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying they would like to be out there, regardless of the technology, regardless of the band. You know, so that's more of it. They just need to get sighted. It's not so much that it's 1900. But again, I just want to make clear that the technology isn't taking the power levels greater or creating new frequencies. We're talking 800, 1900, that's all there is. And here's why it won't be anything else for a long time. There are no frequencies out there that exist in the spectrum, and that's worldwide because technology, you know, what do you call it? Physics are the same, electromagnetic waves. The FCC allows TV, radio, cellular, PCS to be what it is. The carriers would love to have more frequencies. When they buy these frequencies now, they spend millions, if darn not billions, to get these darn things. But there are not new frequencies that the FCC is allocating to do anything new. And if they do get it, it has to come from somewhere else. Cellular came from channels 69 through 83 on your UHF television. They didn't need all of those. The FCC was able to do that. The television companies, National Associated Broadcasters, lobbied hard to give up anything. Nobody wants to give up anything. Well, that's where cellular came from. There's nowhere else less to get frequencies. Someday, maybe, you know, they'll steal it from somebody else. But it takes so long. 10 years to get the FCC to move.
They
did
about the 700.
Okay, that's not going to be cellular.
Yeah, AT&T and Verizon just bought, spent billions, tens of billions of dollars each and bought 700 megahertz.
Well, okay.
It's mainly
brought about by public safety. That's been the big push because police fire are out of channels. Okay. So they stole more UHF TV channels. 48, I think, 42 and up. Hit 42 and up is now all the rest of this stuff. Now, that's a lower frequency than even 800. And covers better than 800, so they should not have as many towers needed like the 1900. And it should be considered the same as 800, because 7-8 is so close, as opposed to 800, 1900. So it could be lumped into the same thing.
Well, the fact is that spectrum already existed here. So there's television.
So it's already here.
It's not like we're bringing in more radio waves.
Uh-huh.
And it was already here, and in fact, it was already here in much higher power.
Much higher
power. Technologies are really geared towards the lowest power they can because they want frequency reuse so they can get more throughput.
I missed that. Did you say that again?
All the technology we're seeing coming out are geared towards lower powered, more localized kinds of things, but then networked or meshed, as he says. You know, the idea of getting up on top of a mountaintop and blasting out with this big frequency is very wasteful and not profitable because they only get to use it one time. But if they use it here, in these very low power little things that are networked, they can use thousands of times and be able to have more throughput and more customers.
Reuse.
So, whereas NBC out of Medford may have been up on top of a hill and putting out a lot of power. That spectrum has now been refarmed. Now, we don't know whether that part, 50% of the 700 megahertz went to public safety, police, fire. and the other half has been auctioned off. Well, the people who are buying those, the auction, they're putting in lower power, small cellular type, not cell phone type, but low power network devices.
Is that what we call translators?
No, it's just the technology. I mean, it's sort of like, something as small as, like, you understand Bluetooth technology, where my cell phone can talk to my iPad, it's a short distance, you know. Now we want to have smart kitchens where your refrigerator knows it doesn't have milk.
Literally.
You know, literally, and orders up milk for you, and there's all sorts of, remote monitoring things, you know, your car, whatever. It's just, they want to use this spectrum for things that can be done many, 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 many times, not on top of the hill one time, I'm not broadcasting out until the 6 o'clock news. I'm using that spectrum, that radio channel, to do tens of thousands of things to serve a huge customer base. So.
And what Brian referred to, just for the sake of appreciating where this is going, the need to be economically progressive, the term, like your refrigerator and all that, industrial machines, they have a technology called M2M, machine to machine. If the Coke machine down at so-and-so gets low on spray, it can actually signal wirelessly to some network that goes back to wherever it is, and they go, oh, we'll put this gun together and go deliver something. So there's a lot of machines talking to each other. But again, that's kind of irrelevant.
Here's another example. In large municipalities, somebody has a big gas meter on their house and stuff like that, and they used to have meter readers drive around and read that.
It's
all going wireless. All going wireless.
Covers it called smart grid?
Partly. That's the consumer end of it, yes. So they can actually start metering what's going on over the place. They have real-time management needs, so they coordinate generating plants to be on par with the need. So part of that is, yes. In this case, it's just really convenient for the guy to get up and get close to your house, go beep, instead of get out and get bit by the dog and go look at the meter that's very brown black.
I mean, they are assets. They're already here. I mean, if you could see them, you'd just be solid. It'd be like pollution. You wouldn't be able to see them. It's already here. It's just that it's being, used in different ways, and radio's radio. I mean, this doesn't care whether it's showing me a movie, making a phone call, doing texting.
Exactly.
It doesn't care. It's just zeros and ones coming out on 19.2.
Speed. So lastly, to close up this frequency thing as far as if they already exist, the 700 megs, 40 channel, 42 UHF TV, up to, I guess, 69 or whatever the cellular starts from there. And everybody said it. The threat or the existence of radio waves. Better Life Christian Television has been established here now for quite a while, 10 years, and they've really done well as far as getting translators all over the place and linking them together. Incredible, since it's a volunteer, nonprofit effort. On Mount Bluey back here, they've been running Channel 48 for years with a 100-watt transmitter into antennas that could effectively perhaps be into the 800-watt, 600, 800-watt range, which is a lot of use considering cellulars are 10s and 20s holding 300 channels for that power, so it's spread out aggregately, or however you would say that. Anyway, they were putting out 800 watts effective radiated power on channel 48, which is 700 megahertz area. They had to give up that spectrum, spend the cost to buy a new transmitter, new antenna, hire me to change the antenna, and now they're on channel 42, just below, or 40, well, 38, I don't know what, it's 35, it doesn't matter. But the point was that they were already up there at 700 megs, putting out far more power than cellulars do. But they freed it up now for 700, and the new users that will go there will be infinitesimal amounts of power relative to that. So indeed, all this stuff has already been out there. Now that's not to say that there shouldn't have been concern prior, but nobody knows, nobody cares, it's all just there. Now we do care, but we're concentrating on cellular. Again, all this stuff's still out there, will be out there, in far greater magnitudes of quantity and power than cellular. And that's why we keep going as long as we have, guys. This cellular stuff is just so infinitesimal. Power levels, this, that, and the other. Visibility, yeah, towers are ugly. Air conditioners come on. But, as far as vandalism or safety or fire hazards, I was going to bring some AT&T, I should have done it, drawings to show you guys, because you were a little concerned about maintenance and insulation with tower fall over. When they put in a cement pad just to hold the generator, it talks about the depth per type of the amount of gravel, the type of gravel that will be the base. It is incredibly over the top being engineered.
Over-engineered.
And so it's really high quality. And that's what I'm impressed
upon. Can they demonstrate that they're engineered adequately?
Well, it would be, if they were to demonstrate to you, it would be stuff that you'd look at and go, I have a clue what they're saying.
But the consultant would know what they're saying.
Who's going to hire them?
They are. It's in the draft.
Well, they do hire consultants.
No. They have to put, and this is in Draft 3, it's in lots of what around the county, mm-hmm. they have to put a certain amount of money into escrow, and the planning department gets because applications are so technical, the planning department gets to hire an independent consultant, expert in that field, to review the application, because the planning department is expected.
Let me just put this perspective brief. Mm-hmm. I had a communication that turned over here for 2 years, because the broadcaster moved in right next door to my public safety site, and was not going to solve the issue. Huge power, didn't belong there, whatever. It took 2 years to negotiate an agreement. That attorney cost me $800 an hour.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that an attorney we're talking about?
No, this is a communications attorney who has an engineering background and is also
attorney. But we're not talking about hiring an attorney.
Perhaps it's the wrong term, but it's still be a consultant with that degree of knowledge.
A professional expert.
That's right.
Yeah, professional expert. It happens all over the country. Yeah. It's in the laws all over the country. It's in draft.
So are you saying...
What do they have to bring on here?
The industry pays, the applicant pays.
So are you saying that CAC is proposing this in the third draft?
No, the third draft is not CAC's draft, actually. The third draft is the working draft from the planning department.
All right.
So this
is what she's talking about, the escrow account to hire an outside consultant. Does that already exist? Is that what you guys are utilizing?
Are we using it now? No.
It's in draft three. You know, 30 years of everything. You know, I had cops who worried about the radar gun. You know, am I going to be able to have children? You know, I understand that. But let's look at the benefit of technology. And I thought I could come out here and here in a rural area. I think there's agriculture out there, for example, right?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if you looked at some of the farm and ranch magazines and things like that, and you look at the back or you look at the vendors, and you look what technology can do for agriculture. Telemetry systems, for example, monitoring irrigation systems, even monitoring soil conditions, monitoring the status of equipment, providing security systems. Wireless is wonderful in rural areas because nobody's going to spend the money to run copper wire out into some of these areas. That's why, like TAS has wireless internet, you know, because it's just cost prohibitive to go out there and run copper wire down a bunch of poles, which are ugly, underneath the ground, which is expensive to dig up. It's just simpler to do it wirelessly. And if I'm some rancher or farmer out there in a relatively remote location, and I'm running my business from my ranch, I want broadband communications, I want telemetry on all my facilities and services here, there may be just as many people out in that area who want.
87% do not want another tower in our valley. Now we're just talking very specifically, but I'm telling you, we had a town meeting and we had a vote. 87% of our community
wanted
a tower in our valley.
But was the focus, this discussion, only on electromagnetic radiation, or was the focus on how this might benefit the economy out there, might benefit the people who are out there trying to run a business, or to have agriculture?
You know, it's a personal opinion. First of all, we have a farmer from the area, you know, who could speak to that. But it's a personal judgment in terms of the benefits and the potential costs. And everybody can make their own decision.
Who presented the benefits? Did anyone explore the benefits?
Well, excuse me for interrupting. Go ahead. There's a huge difference between broadband and cellular, okay? And there is a broadband presence there, and it's increasing, and it's a desire, you know. But it's a huge difference between that and a bunch of cell towers, okay? So the farmers are all into the broadband and the wireless on that level, okay? But as far as something that might affect production, they're not in it. And that's the thing about the question mark about cellular. Okay, we just don't know how it's going to affect us. Okay,
well,
and so we want to know how it's going to affect us before we allow a bunch of them in.
there is some research that has a deleterious effect on farm production, on the milk produced by cows, on the chicks that are born to people who are doing chickens and eggs. There's research, you know, we're not talking without having delved into the research. And we're not saying that the research is clear. Absolutely, the research is not clear. So then we bring in the precautionary principle. And really, what we're standing for is people having choice. It comes down to choice.
If some of these things that we're working on, like such as setbacks and all that,
we should address that.
Well, if that comes to be a 1,000-foot, 1,200-foot setback, so it's not as close to somebody's house or such, would that, in your opinion, seem adequate to have it far enough removed? I understand your visibility. You don't want it right downtown.
And I agree. Yeah,
But you need it back out of there. That might be a compromise.
Absolutely. That's the compromise.
Well, that's what we need to get going.
Why don't we? We're going to talk about setbacks. I mean, not what we're going to talk about today. So, can I?
Absolutely.
That this is what we are suggesting, edits that we are suggesting with the setback section. So, we're just doing one section at a time.
You know, my propane tank calls in and says it's empty on the site. There's
different opinions on all that. Towns will take care of these guys.
Yeah.
The big agricultural entities that have hundreds of thousands of acres, when they're out there killing and plowing, they use GPS so they keep track of where they've been. It's so big they can't. And that satellite technology is already beaming down there all the time. So I understand it's so prevalent. It's just mind-boggling.
So section 99.035B7 is the section of the current draft that relates to setbacks. This is basically the gist of the section. In red is the edits that the CAC is proposing. In the staff report, the planning department commented on CAC's suggestions, and to numerous of them, they said things like, this can be done. We don't see a problem with this. So we can also look at their comments. And here they're talking about what the CAC wants, and this kind of rule is feasible. And here they're talking about the staff agrees. You know, kind of looking at now, some of the language has to be more specific to actually be in the law.
Well, I'll offer my initial comment on the E parentheses 7D thing. Minimum setback from the nearest state-designated scenic byway or state county federal inventory historic place. Those places, those definitions do not really imply or suggest a populous base. In some cases, it would kind of actually be the opposite. They could be more rural. And if we're concerned about visibility or radiation or something, then I don't see why there's a relevance here.
Well, that's already the planning department already, everything in black there.
Oh, my mistake.
The planning department already suggested that in the draft.
Okay.
All we're adding because we, you know, and we're not attached to that one. That's probably the one we're least attached to. But I've seen it in so many other places to add an archaeological letter.
Regulations checked. Well, comment still stands on that. Because out of the way places are where you're
not
going.
So
to me, an archaeological site in this neck of the woods is counterfeitable.
Well, they probably don't have any.
Yeah.
So we're not attached to that one at all.
Okay. I heard your old boss.
Well, even though the county put that in there, I think that needs. Yeah, that's going to be.
Because it might open more opportunities for compromise if it's not in there.
Yeah.
By the way, there's probably a state law.
Yeah.
You're right.
So you're talking about taking that full section out, you're not having a setback from scenic byways or.
Yeah, we're talking about it. And I think it makes sense because it's.
I don't think you want a cell tower at a historic place. I mean, closer than 1,300 feet from a historic place. I thought that was a good
thing. What historic places do we have here?
Right? Well, I'm trying to think what they could be anywhere. I mean, you know, you might have a log cabin somewhere type of thing. I mean, I don't know what. There's a lot of historic places are where something used to occur, and you've got some plaque saying in 1800 the Indians came through.
Right, and that's considered a public value. So
we,
we
do have a historic inventory for the county.
Yeah.
So it's really you to be speaking to this, and this is your...
Excuse me?
Do you have any idea what the volume is?
So
100
probably. It, the list is quite lengthy. It's two volumes in our office.
So we're proposing that you can't view the tower from any one of these?
No. You can't put a tower closer than 1,300 feet.
Step back from these locations.
Which is what, roughly a quarter mile?
Roughly. The next time I come back, I can print out a map that has all the historic sites right on it in the county. If you want to look
at
it.
We'll do that. That'll give us the frame of reference, and then we can have a better visual indicator as to what kind of effect that's going to have.
Okay.
And that's going to be crucial as to,
When
we visually can see things.
What if there are existing sites?
What if
there's already an existing site?
Grand Island.
But why do you have to put a tower close to a historic?
Well, they may not, but we're looking to open up possible alternatives to get them out of your downtown or somebody else's backyard.
Okay, well, here's the answer to her question. Oregon Caves, lawn service. When somebody came in and stole all the wire because it was copper and they spun it right off the poles in the trees.
Twice.
Now you're in that situation. You have a historical site.
Correct.
Okay.
And the public and the caves would love to have some kind of cellular coverage.
But can they get cellular coverage by some, I mean, again, this one is not a huge one.
Can they get
1,300 feet?
Okay. They could. Yes, they could.
1,300 feet, just move it over there so it's not blocking the
absolute
visual of the
1,300 feet from the boundary.
Well, then there's
that. Yeah. Well, that could be defined.
From the chateau, from the entrance to the cave.
I
would imagine this, the term
that's inventoried underneath the same historic volume that we have.
So there might have to be.
You can still conceivably have something.
Usually it's included in that list. I don't care. Really, I don't personally care if an
architect
has something on top of it. That's why I probably.
Yeah, if I had my code book here, we would. I didn't grant.
True. And this might be a situation where, from the visibility standpoint, it might be mandated that it looks like a fir tree. Where if it's only 600 feet back because it's an ideal spot, it's a fir tree, maybe that would be an accommodating situation. But the 1,300 for these types of situations could be a bit better.
So
you're also talking about a geographical issue, too, because it's not a flat spot there.
Well, very true. That's why there's a spot to be 600
feet. You're going to have to have some height in order to gain. And then you're going to have to, I can't be down in the gully, so I've got to be on a mountain somewhere. So you're going to have geographical restrictions.
Mm-hmm. And the cave might be such where it might be ideal for one of these smaller Pico-type things, where it just is the parking area and the facilities, which is very low radiation. You wouldn't even see it because it could be so small. It could be in the attic of the chateau, et cetera. Which 1,300 feet to preclude that may not be proper.
Well, maybe the planning department needs to come next to defend that one. That's probably the least important edit for in terms of adding archaeological studies, just that we've seen that included in our.
Well, not only archaeological, but like he said, the caves, which is a, what are we calling it?
Probably historic.
It's a federal.
Sure, et cetera, et cetera. Important definitions of town places.
It's just a perfect example.
And I want to throw. Excuse me. That's where I was going to go next. We have no authority on federal lands. This ordinance will not apply on Forest Service lands. It's not going to apply on BLM lands. We have no authority.
State monument or a federal monument.
Well, we do regulate under the state lands. If a state owns a park, state park or something like that, we have jurisdiction there.
Okay.
But federal lands, the county commissioners.
So we'll either cross out or federal.
You could. Essentially, you could.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll just put NA with an arrow to it for now. Okay. Interesting.
So let's revisit this. Let's get the map and just go over it.
Sure.
Everybody can think about that and come back with some more information on it. So we'll table 7D for a later time. Any questions or anything on the others?
I'll make one other comment. I just have to notice I continue to review. 7B, minimum setback, 2B. It says, note, the fall zone has been determined to be 2.16 times tower height because of the guy wires. No, just for the sake of comment, no cellular towers, none, do or will use guy wires.
Yeah, I've seen that all over.
Probably wasn't sell. In this county, everything is freestanding. There is such a liability. to have guy wires, because if somebody went over there and cut them, or the snow loading became so much to break them, it took such a large footprint, which is 0.7 times the height of the tower is what footprint needs to go out in three directions. It's totally impractical. Cell towers do not. You know, maybe out in some rural area in Minnesota where they got some 1,000-foot towers, but around here, there are no giant cellular towers, and everything that's going to be coming in will not be. It will always be a freestanding lattice tower or a monopole, single pole. Just for the sake of, they do not use giant towers. Do not, will not. You were saying something somewhere, but it certainly probably wasn't cellular.
Again, this only even relates since B says that the maximum height shall be 200, or at least that's where they're starting. Then we don't have any objections to the minimum setback being 250. It's just that somewhere else they say that there could be a variance. Height, height could be modified by a variance. So that was the only reason. Yeah. Because 250 for a 200 was fine.
Sure. And they rarely go in 200 anyway. 150 is a cookie cutter standard. Everybody's just got them right off the drawing board. They're already engineered. They know what they are. 150 is great. The frameworks that accommodate the whole, it's just all industry cookie cutter.
And 200 would require lighting and everything.
What Paul was saying is right.
Above
200
would
require
a
relationship between the
time and
the load.
Yeah,
minimum setback
is
saying 30, 40, 50 feet, and then 1-to-1 for the height of the tower.
What'd you say again?
I said, for setbacks, I'm just making a suggestion. Have a standard setback of so many feet, and then 1-to-1 setback depending on the height of the tower. So in other words, if the tower is 150 feet tall, it would be 150 feet setback plus a standard, say 20 or 30 or 40 feet, just for safety clearance.
But that's when you're just considering safety, but we're also considering aesthetic of the neighbor, how close. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're happy, I'm happy to drop that from C, if that's a concern with the vague verbiage that we answered, and just leave it the way the plan is.
From
C is B, yes, 7B.
Yeah.
7B, and leave it the way the planning department says. That's not a thing.
Because I kind of agree with Steve. I've never seen a guide cell tower.
A guide wire,
so
that's not fine.
We should just change 7B to a, I would recommend the minimum setback would be 50 feet plus the height of the tower.
Plus 1-to-1 relationship to the tower height.
If you have a 100-foot tower, you don't need a 250-foot setback.
No.
It's kind of
right.
Except for the aesthetics of the neighbor. Safety, you don't. But for the neighbor, you might. I mean, the neighbor who's suddenly got a tower right next to them.
That's a separate issue, I think. We could probably discuss that
in a
future meeting.
And it's really difficult to even put a number on that, because if it's amongst the trees, 30 feet, you wouldn't see it. If it's in the flats, you'll see it a mile away.
You'll see it from all sides.
So
there's some reason that the planning department chose 250.
I would recommend that we change the 7B for the height of the tower plus the 50 feet clearance, and then come back to 7C and have 7C deal with the setback for a neighbor issue. So we can address it separately.
So you're saying B is kind of the safety issue, and
B would be the safety generic definition.
So that way we're not going to find a 250 foot tower. If he puts a 75 foot tower up, he's not going to have a 250 setback. It's kind of stupid.
Right. Makes sense.
A recommendation.
Okay.
And when they do monopoles, they tend to be 70, 80, 90 at about the most, where the towers tend to be 150. And monopoles are desirable because they're less sightly, obtrusive, and that's probably the main reason.
Okay, so, if you all want to do minimum setback from property lines is height of tower plus 50 feet, we can go with that. We just, then we want to stand more strongly on C.
Okay, and C, we'll get to that in a little bit.
So far we're saying, okay, we'll let go of what we wanted, I just want that noted.
I got notes to talk about C yet. So let's jump up to A real quick. Height limits and setbacks, the location of facilities and towers, including enclosures. I don't see any issue with that. The enclosure should be next to the tower anyway.
I agree.
I think that's just a technical, so we can accept that.
It's a catch-all.
Mm-hmm. Maximum height shall be 200 feet. Is there a Fed regulation or anything on cell tower height?
No.
So there is no regulation. Okay. No. So then it's just whatever we want it to be. Except when made blend with trees, which common sense sounds good.
And we probably should say that not significantly taller is not a good legal term. I know it has to be above the trees a little bit so it can emanate you know, so I don't know, I haven't looked at it.
Probably enough. The easiest way to do it is add a percentage. It'll be no less or no more than 10% higher than the tallest tree within a 300-foot radius or something like
that's
that.
That's something we can
do.
I think it actually is just a certain amount of feet that they have to be up there. And it doesn't really, on a practical basis, in terms of getting the
coverage,
the out, right. It's not really a percentage of the tower. Because it's not like they need more of the tower this high and less of the tower this high. They need to be a certain amount, a little bit above the trees.
Well,
10 feet, I think, is the one they proposed in Williams. I somehow that's sticking in my mind. They wanted it 10 feet above the
first question.
High enough, is it? Or maybe it was 10.
Two questions.
Yes.
What do we do if the tree grows?
Exactly.
Okay.
It will.
Okay. Right. And the second question is, it might limit us in terms of co-location. If we say, geez, that would be 10 feet above these trees, and another carrier comes in and says, hey, I want to put a second tower out here, I'd much rather go on top of that tower over there, but it's going to make me taller than the tree. So now you end up with two towers because you can't co-locate because you got to be 10 feet above the sequoia or whatever. I mean, it seems like they could be limited. And they may want to be at that site for other reasons, too. They've already got power there. They've already got road access. They've got security.
Exactly.
There might be a good reason why they want co-location.
Yeah,
that's correct. And a good way to possibly to address this tower issue, is you can't add to the top of it. If it's already designed for a given height, you cannot add to the top of it. It's not structurally adequate.
Right.
But we could suggest, in this co-locate philosophy, that the tower base was already built bigger such that it can accommodate an increased height in the future of the tower. But you'd have to have the base bigger to begin with. And they do this all the time. They put in this big beefy thing so that they want to expand. But if it's already a given tower, you can't expand.
Well, I don't know where that is. We support everything that encourages co-location.
Well, then,
so maybe that
something this is very generic, but along the lines of saying that the tower should be sized, engineered such that 20 feet additional tower could be placed on the top to accommodate an additional carrier with 8 panel antennas or 6 panel antennas or something, which would be typical, and that would accommodate a colo.
Oh, no, but it already has to be built. Well, when we get to that section, it already has to be built to accommodate co-location. And then I think there are some specific
right, true, it does state that. Yeah.
It has to
it
be
also
built.
Has to include probably a separate equipment shelter.
But
when we get to that section.
The difference would be whether they build it day one tall to accommodate the colo, or it's built enough to, in the future, it could be added on, which they, so it's a little bit of fine line, but
so when we get to that section, we can look at how it's working.
There you go.
You got to
put
in colo, you're going to come in and pay for that.
Yeah, and it may be the new carrier coming in would pay for the additional height.
Right.
The first guy who needs to build it, it has to be adequate to accommodate.
So that's where I see the reference of what you're saying is, you know, we typically build buildings and bridges and stuff to widen or height or strengthen, and you structurally build them at the base to do so, but you don't have to build the whole thing up
day one dollar-wise. Right.
Typically, they're like 50% over-engineered, so I'm with the
right.
Comment that Steve's making is over-engineered so that you can add another.
They're already over-engineered 50 to 70% safety-wise to begin with.
Correct.
But that margin still needs to maintain. The colo has to be bigger in the first place. But yeah, there are a lot of different.
100% plus.
So maybe if there's an issue about its height above the trees, because that may limit co-location.
The trees will grow.
And the trees will grow. There is a place where we're suggesting that if they project the growth of the trees before they build the tower, that then they can't use,
It may not be objectionable to have the trees top. Visibility, a top tree doesn't look much different than a non-top tree, and a carrier doesn't mind coming out and paying that. That's a possibility.
Well, so that's in another section.
This leaves us with two questions. We really need to strike out the not significantly taller trees and come up with a different verbiage. At the same time, I see, because of this discussion, that we're going to have an issue with the tower should be minimum height. And I think the minimum needs to be struck.
The maximum height?
That's what we're here to discuss. Because if you set it at minimum height, then you're not planning for any growth at that point either. And those trees grow up, you're going to be in the same boat.
Right.
So minimum needs to be a structure in
replaced with something.
Where is it?
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Which one is that?
7B.
But that is, no, but that, that is minimum height technologically necessary to achieve intended demonstrated purposes and allow co-location. So that includes, that can include counting in the tree growth.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're all still way higher than they need.
I think just the wordsmithing will take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's just a word, but I see it as setting minimum and creating.
You can take the word minimum and say be of sufficient height.
But that's what I'm referring to.
No, but what we're trying to say is no more height than is necessary. That's what we're basically trying to say here. You know, in the maximum is 200, but that doesn't mean that you build a 200 foot.
The tower shall be of sufficient height to provide blah blah blah, but shall not exceed a maximum height of. And then you got both issues in that sense.
You didn't have to go that way.
How are you going to argue what's necessary? I got customers out there that say they don't have coverage.
They may.
Well, they're just going to put up a certain amount of antennas, and then they have to allow for enough space for. When we say co-location, I think in that section it says exactly how many additional antennas from other companies they have to allow for. And then one of the things that I'm suggesting on the issues that we reconsider again is if we want to require available space for the needs of local emergency services. You know, that is the other thing that was taken out, and I'm suggesting that we reconsider putting it back in.
Well, I just took the thing that necessary to achieve intended purposes to be a huge and expensive argument.
True. Well, there you go. Do they not, when they go to a tower, they have to come out with some kind of reference. Somebody has to go out and do a site survey.
Absolutely.
So in the site survey, are they not going to determine what is going to be a minimum required in order to achieve what they're trying to achieve?
Yes.
The site survey is a typical planning. We use site surveys all the time in the planning process. So that site survey should cover the requirements.
Their requirements, yeah.
But I'm saying that we should have something, basically, I mean, whatever the languaging and the wordsmithing is, that says they don't build it higher than they need. They don't, you know, they build it to the height that's needed for their antennas and co-location possibilities and public service. And the tower stops there.
Well, typically, the way it would work for a colo is if a carrier is going to build a tower big enough to accommodate a colo, the first in usually takes the top because it's the best. And the next guys go down below. So it's not like we tend to grow more. And as far as public safety antennas and all that, they tend to not want to have other users in their building for access and somebody bumping into the switch or forgetting to set the alarm when they leave or spilling their soda on the battery, you know, stuff like that. But in many cases, they will accommodate the situation because they know it's in the public interest or public need. Even so, if they went on there, the antennas would be much smaller, much lower. They could even live within the trees, much more technologically doable. So we don't need to really hammer too much, make it available for their antennas because they would be small, insignificant, wind loading, all of that. So it would just be whether they would allow it or not.
Well, that's again is a separate thing of whether.
Absolutely, just to mention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So clearly there needs to be some wordsmithing here, but still, I'm not clear. I mean, does there see any rationale between, you know, stating that it doesn't get, you know, it's high enough to accommodate co-location, public if we need that, their purposes, but it's the minimum to accommodate.
And we still have the growth of trees that we're still not readdressing, so it's kind of a testy issue.
Well, I think the growth of trees is addressed. Well, we've asked it to be addressed.
The question I would read is, would that become too restrictive to the applicant?
That it should be no higher than they need it?
How would you feel about it if it was
I
your
think it's
deal?
Really messy.
Yeah.
You know,
they're
somebody go out there and, you know, plant a tree or, you know, guy in the foyer or something. I mean, or, you know, the one thing that concerns me is, you know, we had a police substation that all of a sudden all the cell phone and data would go down for like 5 minutes and then come back. So, what the heck? You know, we spent weeks troubleshooting this thing. You know, we go out there. Well, there was this little waterfall right by the side of the sheriff's building there, and here was this microwave, and this palm tree finally one day just grew just right, but it blew in the breeze.
Yeah.
And we'd, you know, we'd hold over like this, but once in a while, and come back here, and they'd jump right by that microwave. And they'd go off the air, and then the wind would blow it this way, and they'd go back on the air. I mean, it drove us crazy, so, we're out there, you know, with a chainsaw taking down the palm tree, and boy, the mayor wasn't happy about that. And I mean, we made light of the situation, but one of the things these remote sites have to do is they have to have line of sight microwaves back to their network. And you start restricting them. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had to move or adjust the height of a microwave or whatever, because now all of a sudden life has grown up and gotten in the way of it. But I've experienced that firsthand. And so you need to have some flexibility and not be limited by, oh, gee, you know, this tree just grew up another 6 inches this year, and now I'm off the air or whatever. You know?
I know of several instances where it's just a matter of time, and the tree will grow, and it's going to be an issue. The Cave's microwave network, which replaced the copper, is having a little bit of a hard time for the visitor center. They know because there's trees in the Josephine County maintenance yard. KRRM 94.7 Country Music right over here just went off the air a whole bunch erratically within the last 6 months because the trees kind of in the park and all that, but they had adjusted wrong, so we got to flex out. But then that does exist.
You can't shoehorn in something so tight.
Nobody's saying to shoehorn in that tight. So somebody says, you know, and then we want to add on this percent because the trees are going to grow. The planning department is going to be reasonable and say, yeah, the trees are going to grow. Okay. But to give them carte blanche to do a 200, which we're saying is the maximum except for a variance, to give them carte blanche to do 200 when any consultant would say, wait a minute, they don't need 200. It seems foolish.
But you get into the angle, the bangle, that's a scientific term for you. You know, I mean, if I'm here and I've got to get coverage here, you know, you've got a tree here, that from over here, you know, you're trying to measure the height, this, that, and the other, and you go, wait a minute, the tree's grown here, and now it's changed angle, and now I've got a hole down here. Now I've got to put a second tower.
But nobody's going to argue if you can say, this is why we want the site, because this is.
But they'll be re-engineering your system over and over and over every time somebody who either loves trees or hates radio wants to challenge some construction they see going on up there.
I mean, this is the planning department making a decision. Why would you give carte blanche to any height up to our maximum that they want if it's not necessary? But if they can say there's this tree and it's going to grow like this, then it's necessary. Then it's a reasonable argument.
I think it's something that we can standard that may work for one site but may not work for 10 others.
So the only standard that I was saying is that it not be higher than serves their similar purposes and co-location.
Correct.
That's all I was saying.
And the judge of that will be?
The planning department is the judge in the end.
And a lot of it will be based on the engineering study. Like Ron said, they will provide. There's some facts there that you get started from.
And there's a propagation map.
Right.
They've created with their software
and
package,
that's
going to have credibility with you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, third-party review will establish credibility.
Yeah, I mean, there's industry standard.
Correct.
You know, mapping programs, so.
So my question goes back to, should we have it say minimum?
Well, the minimum height technologically necessary to achieve the intended demonstrated, it could be a different word, and purposes, and allow co-location.
But like I said, I have the word minimum in there.
I think I changed that a little while ago to substantial or I forget the word I used. Sufficient, I think, was the word I used.
But it'll be sufficient, but is that enough? Do we say that's enough at any point?
I'm thinking if we're going to go through third-party review, that'll be determined at that point. I think that's legally defensible. I think that would be sufficient.
Nobody's going to want to spend more money than they need to in the first place. They are budget conscious in that regard. And it's not cheap to put
it
in.
Not only of sufficient height.
You're going to come into where you can be too restrictive and you can have a fallback from it. And that's what I see here.
I don't think that's where the error has happened in general, though. It's not only too restrictive.
Do a wordsmithing on the minimum. Andrew's come up with something, and I'm okay if you take the lead on that and come up with a good term for it that would be acceptable. Let's move this. I think that one just we don't want to come back and bite us.
No, you want it sufficiently strong to be enforceable, but then you don't want to have it so strong that you're eliminating everything.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, let's jump around the game for a minute. Come back to D. You're going
you're going to research that a little more?
The planning department was going to.
For the next meeting, because that should be a fairly quick, easy to rip that one out.
7D, it's not the first ABCDEF that we're going 7D. So the planning department is going to look at the on that in 7A.
Okay, let's go to E real quick.
So even if we're able to site it within this area using disguise technology so that you didn't have an aesthetic problem, you still wouldn't allow them there?
Well, you're talking about D now.
If you can't see it.
Well, that's Long Beach used palm trees. I mean, they had
beautiful palm trees.
The way we feel is it's an area where the public congregates. So it kind of gets near a public building in the park. Kind of gets similar to...
We built this huge amusement park. Guess what? We put a cell site there because that's where the public congregates. They're all on vacation. They want to be able to use their cell phone. So you put the service there because they are congregating.
And what about the rest of the population that wants to recreate but does not want to be next to a cell phone?
So do you go down to Disneyland, you take a vote every day, do you want the radio turned on or not? Because most of you today don't want it, and tomorrow most of them do want it.
So where does choice come in?
Well, don't use your phone.
Yeah, but if you're next to a cell phone and a cell antenna and you don't even know it, isn't this guy's gonna Bugs Bunny or something?
Trust me, there's enough RF coming in this room right now and you don't know it.
You'd be surprised with the lights to go down.
You'd be surprised with the radio.
Yeah,
do you have an electric light on your bed?
No.
Okay.
You kidding?
Okay. Smarter people do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a clock radio? Do you have a clock radio on your nightstand?
So no. Okay, let's...
Well, people do.
How about you bring back some references of... Because I agree with you. Shutting it down completely, I think, is improper. I don't think we should do that. If they can make an aesthetic and they can hide it in there, would you be so kind as to look up the aesthetic angle of it and come back with something to us on the next meeting?
You mean like what disguise technologies look
yeah.
like?
Yeah. Just something...
I can make a door and give you an antenna. You want a fire plug? It's a huge market. It's church steeples, it's signs, it's fake trees, it's lighthouses, it's storefronts, it's anything that's hollow.
Yeah, it can be completely disguised.
In fact, there's stuff we have Long Beach Airport, we have this huge tower, and it looks like this giant concrete tower. It's not. It's a steel tower wrapped in a fabric kind of material. It's called microwave windows. It looks like concrete to open and poke it. And it's a total facade. We've done this on the rooftop of buildings where you think it's just a facade up there, but behind it, there's microwave dishes. And it's like a fabric that allows the radio to penetrate through it.
Just an aesthetic.
I can show you what a palm tree looks like or a lighthouse. I don't think they're going to put that out in your neighborhood. But I mean, what I'm saying is, does that mitigate this problem? Can we get within this 1,500 feet or whatever if we can disguise it? I don't know what I'm saying.
The whole thing is a very tricky issue. And then there's the issue that's under the table. The health issue, for example, is quite an under the table issue in the sense that there's a federal law, the Telecommunications Act, that basically says you cannot argue against a cell antenna based on its emissions. So you cannot make an argument legally based on health. Whether a health issue could influence us is a different thing. So we have researched extensively the health issue. And it is absolutely true that the results are dichotomous. There are some studies that say, give me a break, it doesn't hurt you at all. And there are other studies that document effects. For example, a study from France and a study from Australia. Now, you couldn't get to more distant places that both studied people who live within 500 feet of a cell tower, 1,000 feet of a cell tower, 1,500 feet of a cell tower, versus people who, they did a study with them. And they, in France and Australia, they came up with the exact same results These are the symptoms that are higher within people within 500, within 1,000, within 1,500, exactly the same. So there's also a plethora of research that shows that it is not healthy for us to be that, to be closer than basically 1,500 feet, you know, to a cell tower. Then there is, what do you do when you have to create public policy that depends upon scientific research? And the research is ambivalent, you know. So then there's a principle called the precautionary principle, which is internationally accepted as what you use when public policy has to depend upon research, which is inconclusive or ambivalent. And it basically says, real simply, if it could be really bad, don't do it. That simple. So what we personally believe, you know, you've worked for the industry, I know you have your own beliefs, what we personally believe about whether this is, you know, unhealthy or not, I'm for choice. I'm for the precautionary principle, and I'm for people should have a choice. If I want to have a cell phone, I don't have a problem with cell phones because you have a choice to use that cell phone or not. I do have a problem when there's a public place and there's a cell tower right there. Yes, I can stop going to all of those public places, but as part of the public, I want to have choice about whether I subject myself to that.
And what's our choice with regard to the high-powered transmission lines coming from Hoover Dam and the Los Angeles?
I'm not dealing with that.
Well, we want the power, okay? And I'm not in your neighborhood, and I want to be able to talk on my phone.
But you don't live in my neighborhood, and 87% of my neighborhood doesn't. Well, we have cell phone service.
Can I ask you a survey? Was that everybody who showed up, or was that literally every? Did you say that
we publicized the town meeting? That's how we do things in Williams. We have town meetings.
So then, I guess.
I'm talking about choice.
What percentage of people who live in Josephine County vote every year?
Yeah.
25.
That's my election.
25.
Yeah. And they decide who are the people that they make the decision.
That's why where we are.
I think it's called vocal majority. But anyway, so I guess to get back down to some facts here is, like you said, 500, 1,000, 1,500. I guess in this regard we could discuss setbacks, which we already are. So, you know, that gets it far enough away to make everybody happy.
Setbacks as it relates to aesthetics?
Aesthetics could even be compromised or accommodated because of camouflaging. But right now we're talking about emissions. So maybe, you know, if we come up with a setback that makes people happy, that's far enough back in their perceived realm. Like you said, 500, 1,000, 1,500. You know, it seems like we're going to address radiation. We're just going to talk distance.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm speaking out of my technical knowledge here, so jump in. Okay, here's a cell tower, right? Is there like a cone of silence there?
Well, okay, this does need to be appreciated.
Because I can live right next to it.
That's right.
I can sleep to the bottom of that pole.
Well,
that's over the top of my head. But if it's looking at me in my mountaintop house, it's looking right at me.
Yes,
okay.
Then
if I'm right next to it.
But look, for example, the International Association of Firefighters and fire departments haven't approached a lot, like just as schools have, because, you know, they need money, you know? So the International Association of Firefighters has put out a thing saying, do not put a cell tower on your firefighter because these are the documented effects that we've seen in our firefighters, and they live down there. I know what you're saying, theoretically, it should be in just that way.
Well, it's not.
But it's not what they're finding.
No, wait.
That's a union. Okay, that's not representing the fire industry because the International Association of Public Safety Communications Officials, okay, which is the group that's designated by the Federal Communications Commission to handle frequency coordination for public safety, and that includes fire. I happen to be past president of the California chapter. I can say that group would strongly disagree with what a few of their union people in the International Association of Firefighters, which is a union, would say. So that's not a credible source to go through.
Well, when you look at the record.
Okay, let's move on. Steve, go ahead. All right. Let me give you even 45 seconds to address this. Because like you're saying, some of this is not conclusive. It's very absolutely conclusive when you can design an antenna and take measurements above it, in front of it, below it, etc. They will give you a chart showing, if you would still look at this, it will have a circle that's all of the same standard distance from the radiation center, and it will actually have some kind of a pattern that may very well look like this. How much above, how much below. And a cell tower is pretty much going to look
where cell antenna is pretty much going to look more like this because it needs to get the signal out there. Now, if this is the antenna and this is horizontal, perpendicular to vertical, there's going to be a term called vertical angle of radiation. How much above and below horizontal this thing will emit. And there's absolutely no denying or controversy against the absolute measurement because it is. It's just a measurement. Now, to bring, I bring this up to the U.S. So say, here's this antenna on a 100-foot pole. Directly below it, in a big area like this, there's going to be very, very, very little radiation. One might ask, well, how is it going to work then? Because you're so close, you don't need a lot of radiation. But when you get way the heck out there, you do. That's where they point it. This area underneath could easily be 20 decibels below, which is 100 times less the power than it would be going forward. So if it were 1 watt forward, it would be 10 milliwatts below it. So there is indeed a lot less radiation below, an upward sum below, from this tower. And those charts I could even provide if you wanted to see it. I'm just taking 20 degrees and 20 dB below it. But that is to be realized that near it and below it, there's very little radiation because it's designed to get it the heck out there for what that's worth.
Excellent show and tell. Great graphics. I think that's important.
I've always been given the chance. I'm not good at CAD, but I ventilated design. Yeah, okay. Basic guy. No, I appreciate that.
So, bottom line is, if you put a tower, say, on a just an example, you have a museum in Sunny Valley. Radiation in the museum itself is going to be next to normal.
If you are near and below it, there's a lot less than if you're out in front of it, a lot less. And of course, when you are below it, you're near it, so that tends to mitigate that, which is a benefit and, you know, might give some people comfort, and it is actually, you know, documented. I mean, all these people provide all these highly accurate charts, so antennas are here for purchasers that the Southern Affairs can design it for their needs. Now, if they're on a mountain, it'll actually have down tilt, where this whole angle here, the whole thing, tends to down tilt. The angle may be the same, but it's on a down tilt. Well, it's not going to be like that for...
Engineers who design antennas are some of the highest paid people in technology.
At the same time, you said the distance makes a difference.
Correct. In the distance out from it, of course, and even below it, we were mentioning, there is happens to be far less close in because you're out of that cone. So that's just something... appreciate or whatever, and I can substantiate it. We need to all bring in some charge because
my point is getting back to our 1300 feet is you might actually have more radiation at 1300 feet than you would if you had a tower in 1200.
That could be true, other than the fact that signal strength varies inversely proportional to the square of the distance. So by the time you get any distance at all, it's already degraded significantly. Let me share this one thing with you. If you have a two-way radio, senders need a little bit more, but if you've got a two-way radio and the voice is coming in pretty clear but a little bit scratchy, that amount of signal is one half of 1 millionth of a volt. 0.000005. One half of 1 millionth of a volt. Radio waves out at a bit of a distance don't contain much energy. Again, if you're below it, you know, there's even less. But they are quite low. Anyway, moving on.
So what I would recommend, and maybe I can throw this back to Taz, because I know Monique was already researching it, for the what all the different counties have for their setbacks and stuff. Let me have them throw that on. Because we're going to revisit this at the next time anyway. And let's see if we can get a little more information. And realistically, is it 1300 feet realistic or not? You know, or should we just say, you know, it can be closer in a camouflage? And I have no problem, you know, with the historic side. They should camouflage it. It should blend in, period.
Yeah. And that's usually the, when they have to do things to accommodate the situation, that's one of the things they're pretty willing to do. Because it's not overly expensive, and they do try to meet the public need in a lot of ways. And if it's a win-win, hey, clock tower, bell tower, palm tree, oak tree, and, you know, open up the catalog, let's get a pretty one.
Is it like closed towers for fire stations?
Well, you're talking to this is the planning department's regulation, so it's not really. I support it, but this was the planning department's regulation.
Yeah, but we're reviewing everything, and that's one of the ones we're reviewing.
And visibility is sensitive.
Wrong one, corrected. If it's right, let's leave it.
Right. And again, aesthetics is very important there.
Okay, so I'll see if I can throw that back to Monique and have her dig up some information on that. And when we revisit that, we'll have a little more information. We'll have a little more visual we can look at. And
Steve, if you would please go ahead and bring a...
Yeah. Some charge of radiation then?
Not a whole lot. It's just a couple so we can get frame of reference.
Absolutely, real easy.
Not technicals in the crowd.
I've got those
catalogs. Do you want any of the research? I mean, do you want to see any of the research?
Federal law says I can't use it, so I'm not focusing my whole goal on the health research because I've been told I can't.
I could bring in also the last tower I approved. It has a lot of the RF studies that you have. Just some, so you can see what we look at.
Yeah. What kind of how they do it, what they look at, what they look at, what it is.
I can bring that in.
We'll see if you can forward in advance to the Wayne CAC and let them preview it and look at it first, because I think it might help if you see the information that's being looked at that maybe you can assess some fears or... get a better idea of what is being looked for.
It is a quite a large file because there are quite a large nature of it.
Is it electronic?
No.
So if you want to see it, I think I need to have you come in and look to see what I'm going to be bringing. This is a Riverbanks Road, Robinson Bridge, U.S. cell site. And this one's right off the Wild and Scenic River, so there's some issues working with BLM and that kind of thing going on. It might be a good case study to look at.
How far is it from the Wild and Scenic River itself?
Not far. But it's inside of it. It's inside the Wild and Scenic boundary, which is a quarter mile down the river. So within a quarter mile of the river.
And they work.
Mm-hmm. Is that some feet? You said that's about a quarter.
1320 is a quarter mile.
1320, so it's 1300.
And this tower was going to be visible from those nice rafters. If they looked up, they would have seen this new tower. They went stealth. They took it stealth. They're doing a monopine design up there. It'll be the nicest, tallest tree on the mountain.
Yeah.
But.
So that one is 1,300 feet from the river.
Approximately, yeah.
And they worked hard to get that sighted there because they looked at many, many, many other locations over a couple of years that just were not going to fly. And part of the reason they were looking down at that area, since I'm so aligned with these people for so many years, they asked me 5 years ago, what areas do you see as we begin to expand outward? I told them that's very important because of the river with people rafting, having the need, and you've got the Hellgate Lodge restaurant down there with all those people, and it kind of shoots down the river towards Indian Mary Park, which is all these corridors. So they saw that, and along Riverbanks Road. So they were able to finally squeeze something in somehow, and I'm glad to hear that because I hadn't heard lately.
It is a public safety issue.
Yes, it is.
And I have to take my ham radio off because I think my 7-year-old kids were out there swimming, and my cell phone doesn't work. And,
a lot of dead zones out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the rafting companies would love to have it because they run into emergencies and they want to be able to radio it.
Okay, so we'll get that give everybody a little more frame of reference. 7E, height property line setbacks. It's kind of going to refer to 7C a little bit to me, because 7C starts with minimum setback from the nearest adjacent residence, but we're really kind of talking about residences down more in E.
Well, E is saying when you can modify by a variance. So the regulation is in C, and then E is saying what can be modified by a variance. The first edit to C, the planning department agreed with in their staff report, which was just that it's either an existing residence or a plan, because this situation came up recently with the cell tower site where they were putting it right near the border of a property, and the people in the property right behind didn't have a residence there, but they had already built their roads and their driveway, they had done all the facilities, you know, for their house site would have been literally looking straight at the tower. So that situation made us want to add in this verbiage or planned home site, and then the planning department added the idea authenticated by pending applications or permits or construction supports. So the tower, basically that idea. And the planning department also agreed in their staff report that public building or park could reasonably be included with public or private school and like the daycare facility. And then they also agreed that it didn't really make sense to have the setback be less for these public places, you know, and the schools and all that, than the 1,300 that they were recommending for where you drive by a scenic thing or a historic place that you just visit. And agreed that setback didn't quite make sense.
Okay.
Let me just share something here. I apologize for taking my iPhone, but right now there's it's a huge convention. It's called the International Wireless Communications Expo. It's meeting, and the agenda today is meeting with public safety fire officials. They're there because they want these technologies. They're talking about the effects of changing fire codes on in-building coverage. That means we'll be able to penetrate so that their communications works. Digital radio for firefighters, digital audio quality, digital radio for firefighters, the impact of technology, improving incident response with interoperability communication, regional radio systems, collaborating transit and public safety. So this whole thing that firefighters don't like radio, they're there at this, the largest wireless expo in the world, saying these are our needs. We need you to develop technologies and provide technologies to meet our operational needs. So I don't know what the fire union says or what their agenda is, but the real professionals who are trying to provide this service, they want the technology. They're right there.
Okay. Well, right now, yes, I appreciate that. Right now we're talking about personal residences.
Sorry, it just popped up. I know it was a sidebar, but it was talking about it.
A lot of that was brought about by the lack of technology in the 9/11 disaster because they couldn't get their existing technologies to work very well in these buildings, so they're trying to get more radiation in the buildings because of meeting public safety on it goes. Yeah, they claimed they couldn't evacuate because they didn't get the orders via radio.
I have a comment on 7E, if I may. If you change 7C up here and you have after residence or plan, blah, 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 then shouldn't you also have it down here after adjacent resident in 7E to reflect the same thing since you're in essence choosing the same language?
Yeah, should probably add that.
And then what about the setback from the nearest residence? As I read this, the setback from the nearest residence, public or private school or licensed daycare facility, comma, public building or park, cannot be modified by variance. Why?
That was planning department.
That was in the original.
Why? Especially your public or private. I don't see any reason why it couldn't be varied.
Yeah, I have to see where this was probably borrowed from another code.
I always report that there are some things that we just stand on that no, this is our limit and it cannot be even changed by a variance.
This county has a rugged history of having the capability of having variances and allowing Article 76 is a good example. I mean, you can pretty much vary anything you want if you can show justification to do so. I know it's not a written policy of the county, but it is, as far as I'm concerned, the years I have vested, it's an unwritten rule that, you know, if they can prove and show that there's a good reason for it, you know.
The flexibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I see 78 being too. If you can look up where that came from.
Yeah. Okay. We'll look into that.
Okay. All right, we only got a few minutes left, so let's just kind of wind down. We kind of got a list of things to do.
Ron, if I may, I think what I'd like to do is have some clarification as to when you begin these edits and everything. Are they going to be in some legible form to sent to Andrew, sent to James? Are they going to be funneled through you, one person here as a committee, to send to one person at planning so that it does not become so convoluted that James has some, Andrew has some, I have some?
Everything should come through the committee, period.
Right. So there should be one designated person who's going to do the edits and then put them in some kind of final form to send to us at planning. Is that how it's going to work?
That's one of her questions. We haven't
really
answered.
Who's going to track? Because we're basically editing draft 3, so we're creating a draft 4. And how do we track the things we do each meeting?
It would be most expedient if the Common Core coordinator to one individual.
Is with. I'm going to say this, but don't take it wrong. Really, basically, secretary wise, coordinate and organize this because that person ain't me. and then once it's written up, so,
bring it back and let everybody look at it before we forward it up.
Sure.
So we have a general consensus that we don't want to say it would keep the favoritism is probably the wrong word, but all these favoritism. So it doesn't get sidetracked by somebody who's just writing and not by the group. Mm-hmm. For everybody. So is there anyone who'd like to, any three of you that are here?
I'm pretty poor at all that sort of thing. I'm juggling all my own needs, concerns, and overflowing information as it is in my private forum.
I mean, I'm tracking it pretty closely, so I'd be happy to put out a draft and then check with everybody in the community that that's what they remember, that's what they heard, that's what they understand, that they approve and support.
Yeah, and you can email that out. Well, I would accept you if that's fine with you.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. And if Steve or I are tasked to be, you know, if you're looking for that word,
right,
you know, say, hey, this is what I got. How do I say that?
Right.
Or call us and say, how do I express that? You know, but you pull it together.
Yeah, that's going to be the hardest part. It's just...
Well, but that would be a final thing. I mean, the only thing that I feel like we absolutely, let's say, you know, we agreed with including a closure in just 7, the original A is there. The planning department is going to come back with wording on 7A. 7B we changed to it's the height of the tower plus 50 feet. 7C we haven't made a final conclusion on, but we're taking the things that are authenticated by, you know, the house, the Oriflam house site. That whole section is going to be repeated in 7E, where it needs to be. 7D, the planning department is going to come back with where that came from. And we're still sort of a little bit discussing, or have we discussed, you know, 7C and 7E?
So they're kind of intermixed.
They are
intermixed. Almost mutually exclusive.
Well, one, you know, one's the law, and then one's what can be changed.
Right. Yeah. Right. Are they worded that way right now, though? Do you see it as being worded?
Mutually exclusive. They need to be wordsmithed better.
Yeah, well, but that's something that is way above my head. So the wordsmithing on that one would come from, would you prefer you guys look at that first?
We'll take a look at it and throw something up on the wall and go from there.
Okay. And how about the, you know, the edits that we suggested for 7C and 7E?
I think we can handle those. I've got enough information where I think the two of us can put
okay, so you'll come back with 7C and 7E.
Yeah.
Okay. So really, maybe I won't put something out yet because we probably change anything. We're waiting for the planning department to come back with.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have enough information, but you can put out the fillers and the changes that we've made, and you know, get it's okay to send emails out at this point at the public meeting.
It seems we've done so little definitively yet that I'll hold off sending it out until after the next meeting.
Okay. There we go.
Whole session.
Don't hesitate to call and ask for those words or the terminology. And the information from the people who will be better at it.
And then also, I think as a committee, you have to be a little more clear on what you want on your agendas.
So, well, yeah, the first one was.
Taco breakfast would be a good agenda item.
let me know that, Ryan. So just let me know, because otherwise the agenda is going to be very broad, very
vague.
So
what is our agenda for next meeting? Obviously, we're going to revisit this.
We're going to revisit setbacks.
We're going to review an application that's recently been approved.
Yep.
Part of our orientation, mm-hmm, training, and I think we're all really informing each other. No, I'm learning a lot this meeting.
Me too. I agree.
And I think that's important. I mean, there's no absolute expert sitting in this room.
Right.
No, the more we talk, the more we'll understand and come to the conclusion that needs to be.
So then wireless towers number 2 will not be discussed, as was previously mentioned?
Well,
I can, since I don't have anything else to do, I can do whatever research I need to do.
Yeah, because I think we'll have time to at least start tackling the towers, and then we need to distinguish the towers. And then we also had talked about before, you know, the cell tower text amendment, should we adjust that to a cellular/PCS amendment?
Probably the safest.
Yeah.
That wording exists in the industry. for the sake of putting it in there, it needs to be.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to call it on. So we're not cellular. That's the two A and B carriers. There you go.
So then we make that simple adjustment, but it's these simple adjustments that are going to work their way through.
There you go.
Yeah.
So then number two should be on the agenda.
Number two should be on the agenda. She'll do some research on it and see if anything you can bring back to the table.
Yeah, but
between the differences, I think the concern would be, or at least what I would look at, just being a team sitting over here, is, you know, what is the difference? Just some frame of reference as to the size of the antennas. Is there any size difference between towers? Just some references that we can compare between the two systems so we can have a frame of reference.
Okay.
And that would be good for us. And that will probably take up most of the next one.
Yeah, all I bring up is the towers have the pictures of the size of
them. Time and date certain for a minute.
Can they warn you during your interview that he's coming into this because it looks like you're going to have to get the ground running here?
Custom what?
Yeah.
Mr. She's asked a question to clarify Mr. Bush's relationship to this committee, and he is not on this committee. He's, as far as I know, just a frame of reference that the planning department is using for experience purposes.
So yeah. I wonder really if he should be off the email list to the committee.
Michael had mentioned to me that he wanted to have him apprised of the subcommittee and information that was going around. As to why, I do not know. He just told me he wanted him on the list.
Right. Since it's an open committee,
sure.
I have no issue with it.
Some significant point could be raised out of here that he might have significant facts or whatever, that one item could be beneficial to us.
Right.
To me, that's kind of like, well, the CAC, do we want to exclude them because they're not on the committee?
Correct.
Frame of reference. You know, the more people that are look at it, since we're not doing anything behind closed doors, I have no issue with it.
Okay.
And as a reminder, we get down to Willie Cross and I's, Cross and T's dot com.
That's not all I can bring.
Or at least by the end of the day. There's a couple of, again, down the line, there's a couple of real technical issues that are in one of these amendments somewhere that is outdated size of cables and such, 7/8, 1/5. So we'll cross that later, but it's in here.
A lot of your prepared people.
There's one about making the amendment that the technical people want.
Really? Where's that? What is it?
On the list I gave you today of issues,
it's
now in there. Number 12, review all technical information in order for accuracy purposes.
Yeah,
so that's
good.
You guys.
That's the one down the line.
That's you guys.
That's for Mr. Bush, Mike. Happy
there you go.
Also. Okay, January. We have on the 24th is the next planning commission where we're going to have to make a report to the planning commission. It's obvious I'm not going to be the person making that report, since I'll be up front. I can't run both chairs. I wondered if you would be up for doing that, Brian, to give up just an update.
You going to hold up the idiot card for me?
I don't have an idiot card.
We'll meet before then, right?
Yes. Well, but that's what we're going to set right now.
Right. Yeah. So I think that one of the agenda items needs to be, what are we going to tell? What are we going to say?
Right. Define what we're going to do.
I think, we let's avoid getting into the bowels of all the people.
Oh, absolutely. We just want to highlight things.
Yeah.
Because we're going to, we've already had the discussion. It's already public notice, and we don't want to cancel it. So we're going to go ahead and move formal with it.
Yeah.
But we're just going to highlight it. There's a committee meeting. They're evaluating this, that, and the other, and we've got some in-depth things, and we're going to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, that'll share some responsibility amongst the group also. Next meeting. Anyone have preference?
I'm wide open.
Same time.
You got the hearings on there. We just have one,
don't
we?
Just have one.
There's
nothing
else.
No.
No, you
not for January.
We're so keen on getting this early.
You have to get
this big So, yeah, all day might be a good thing.
Shoot afternoon, I'd like to, move back toward 3 or so. So it's,
we can have the day.
Middle of the day, just
puts a hole in it.
Yeah, well, with Steve being owning our own business, I don't, you guys are still working, and I don't know
where we're starting from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have businesses to run, and it really messes with us. So if we can, beginning or end of the day, certainly makes our lives easier.
And Tuesdays and Wednesdays are my available day, but Friday's also available if somebody anything else needs to
run. Friday's in the sheriff's office. So Tuesday, Wednesday's Friday.
Wednesday the 19th at 3 o'clock.
Which one?
Wednesday the 19th at 3 o'clock.
Fine by me.
Do you want to go that late in the month, or do you want to have something sooner?
I'd be a little more comfortable sooner. Just, I don't know why, just so we can assure we can get something.
We've got
11th hour, seems to me.
That's
what
I'm saying. Yeah. Right, we can do the 12th.
Well, then I'd love to do the... Oh, no,
we can do the 12th.
I'm kind of liking it more.
Yeah.
Okay. Wednesday at 12, 3 p.m.?
3 o'clock?
3 p.m.
3 p.m. Location to be determined, likely here.
I will, well, yes, I will check on that, and if not, then it will be our conference room in our office.
Well, it's a smaller group. It's not, so far, it has not been an issue yet. So when the blue three bodies today with Malcolm out, too. I didn't hear from Malcolm at all.
No, Malcolm's not on this one.
Oh, who?
It's Bill Francis.
And he is who, doing what, remind me?
He's my alternate.
Oh,
he's the planning alternate. Hey, well, we made some progress.
Yeah, we did.
I think we'll iron those others out. Next meeting. Let's go. The days are waiting.
No, I.